If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. Hi, I'm Sean Evans from Hot Ones, and I want to tell you about YouTube Premium. It has offline downloads, so you can watch without Wi-Fi. Background play, so you can lock your phone, and it still plays, baby. Oh, and it is completely ad-free. Yes, I said it, ad-free. Try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium. Trial eligibility varies. Terms apply. Cancel anytime.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, and welcome to Bulwark Takes. I am Andrew Egger, joined by my colleague Lauren Egan to talk about what happened last night, what we got out of the state of Florida, the Democratic primaries there, a bunch of interesting stuff, a bunch of stuff that Lauren's been writing about in her opposition newsletter, some stuff that has some Democrats in the state a little bit concerned about their ability to rebuild after years of Republican dominance in the state of Florida. Before we get to that, though, we have to dwell on a somewhat less complicated story, a somewhat sweeter story, a somewhat funnier story. It's the story of Corey Mills, Representative Corey Mills. We have seen a lot of the bigger creeps of Congress get some belated comeuppance over the last couple of months, the last year or so. A couple of them are still kicking around in there, sort of waiting on their just desserts. Representative Corey Mills has been accused of a whole bunch of different, you know, sexual misconduct type behavior, campaign finance violations type stuff, just all kinds of crazy allegations against Representative Corey Mills, Republican from Florida. He, fortunately or unfortunately, depending who you ask, lost his primary on the Republican side last night. He was endorsed by Donald Trump, didn't get him over the finish line. And to add insult to injury, Donald Trump had this to say about Corey Mills this morning. "I told Congressman Corey Mills of Florida, a friend of mine, to get out of the race, but he wouldn't listen. He thought he could win, so who can blame him? We now have a great candidate, Ryan Elijah, running in his place. Ryan stands for everything MAGA and is respected by all. He has my complete and total endorsement, President Donald J. Trump." Lauren, before we get to the Democrats, what do you make here? Here we are standing in the long twilight of Corey Mills. Republicans have rid themselves of him. I guess Democrats kind of wanted to run against him, but it's the end of the line for Corey.
So my take on this is, like, it's good for the country. I think it's a good thing that someone like Corey Mills, who's endorsed by Trump, who's just genuinely a bad person, is going to lose this primary, even with a Trump endorsement. We kind of saw something similar in Tennessee a couple of weeks ago when Andy Ogles lost his primary. Similar situation. He didn't have the same sexual misconduct allegations, but still a genuinely awful human who had been accused of, you know, Islamophobia, had a lot of campaign finance issues, basically, like, stole money from constituents, a whole lot of things. He also lost his primary. I think that's a good sign for the country. But Democrats were hoping to run against these deeply flawed candidates, and that was kind of their whole strategy for how they were going to flip some of these really competitive districts. So it makes their job in November a lot harder. The plus side is that the next Congress will not have, no matter what, a Andy Ogles or a Corey Mills in it. But obviously that could still be represented by a Republican in January.
I've been hearing these sorts of lines from these sorts of these sorts of, you know, strategists for so long at this point, where it's like, oh man, if only the really damaged one can get through the primary, and then we, you know, our jobs will be so easy going into November. No, I am so happy that you have a harder job and we have eliminated the possibility that you put the awful person back in Congress, because that happens way more often than any of us see.
And the Corey Mills race is still, like, it's, I think that's an R+5 seat. So in a good year for Democrats, they should be able to win that. The Andy Ogles race is a lot different. That's like an R+10 seat. So, you know, that might be a wash for Democrats. But yeah, it's a big gamble to want to run against the, like, most awful members of Congress and risk them still being part of Congress next year.
Florida is such an interesting state this year because, you know, we've got the brand new map. A lot of these guys are in districts they haven't run in before. Nobody really seems to know how to handicap the thing. Ron DeSantis and Republicans in the legislature have tried to give a map to the president that will squeeze an extra seat or two out four Republicans. I forget how many new seats they're hoping to get out of this map in total. But that comes with risks, right? It comes with risks of not having incumbents in as many different places. And it comes with risks that in a wave election year, you could see, what they call a dummy mander. You could see some of these seats, because they slice the margin more finely. You could see Democrats getting swept in, even in some of these redder districts. Obviously, that's what Democrats are hoping to see. But let's now talk about what we are likely to see on the Democratic side this cycle. I mean, can you just talk a little bit, first of all, to give people context? It has been such a rough time for Democrats in the state, and not just at the top level in Florida, not just that they're losing the Senate elections and that they're losing the governor's mansion, but just structurally in the party. Can you talk about some of the problems that Democrats in Florida specifically have faced in recent years?
Yeah, I think it really goes back to probably the 2012 presidential election. If you remember, Obama just barely won Florida. That was kind of like an early sign that, oh shit, Democrats are starting to lose some ground here. And since then, things just have kind of gone downhill. Obviously, 2016, Trump comes in, he wins the state of Florida, and Democrats have essentially struggled to win statewide ever since. And that's dovetailed with this, Democratic brand nationwide kind of becoming a lot more toxic in the state. And they've struggled to figure out how to solve that. And this has really become a giant problem for the party because, and I write about this in my upcoming newsletter, the 2030 census is a huge, huge big deal for Democrats. After the 2030 census, Florida is going to probably gain, we think, maybe around four more congressional districts. And remember, presidential elections, electoral college votes are allocated based on how many House districts you have. So what that means is that Florida is becoming a lot more politically important at the same time that Democrats are doing far, far worse in this state, and they haven't really figured out how to right the ship. And that plays into the Senate race that we saw last night. I think the conventional wisdom going into this Democratic Senate primary was that Alexander Vindman was going to be the nominee. Honestly, I don't know about you, Andrew, but I went into last night kind of not really, I wasn't refreshing the polling constantly as results were coming in, because the conventional wisdom was he had this locked up, that this was not a primary that was closely contested at all. Turns out that was not the case.
100%. The only real race I was kind of watching out of Florida,
obviously, Corey Mills.
Yeah, that's right. And Byron Donalds, and seeing what his margin was going to be, that kind of
stuff. Right. This was not something that Democrats were really, they just assumed Vindman had this locked up. Angie Nixon ended up winning last night, and she is a state rep. She's a DSA member, although the DSA has not officially endorsed her in this race. So it's kind of a complicated relationship there. But point being, she has embraced the socialist label, and she's pretty progressive, and she's now going to be at the top of the ticket for what Democrats had hoped would be, I think they're realistic going into this primary that they probably were not going to flip the seat in November. They just have too much ground to make up. But the hope was that they were at least going to be competitive and start laying the groundwork for 2030, 2032. You can't just show up in 2032 and expect to be competitive if you haven't put in the work in the cycles before. The goal here was to play the long game. But they don't have a Senate candidate now who they can really do that with.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Haley Bailey. Okay, I need to tell you about something. I just got YouTube Premium. It's got tons of awesome features like offline downloads, so I can download my favorite videos before I travel and watch them whenever I don't have Wi-Fi. Because we all know airplane Wi-Fi is the worst. I get ad-free, I get background play, and there's a ton more in there. You should try it. If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. Try it now for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium.
If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. Hi, I'm Sean Evans from Hot Ones, and I want to tell you about YouTube Premium. It has offline downloads, so you can watch without Wi-Fi. Background play, so you can lock your phone, and it still plays, baby. Oh, and it is completely ad-free. Yes, I said it, ad-free. Try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium. Trial eligibility varies, terms apply, cancel anytime.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm sort of two minds about all of this, right? Because on the one hand, we've lost so many of the kind of conventional wisdom rules over the last few cycles. Democratic primary voters are going so many different directions. We don't necessarily know what will and won't resonate just as a general rule with general election electorates, especially given everything that's coming out of the White House right now. That said, if you wanted to sort of draw up on you know, paint a picture of perhaps the most self-defeating place to try to run a self-professed socialist candidate, it would be Florida, in my view. I mean, where you are already running from behind, much more so than you have been in past cycles, where you're, the idea that this is a purple state is even a little bit of an anachronism now. I mean, it really is red as currently constituted, and they hope to make it purple again in the future, but where a big path toward making it purple again relies in large part on wooing back a bunch of, you know, Miami Hispanics, Cubans, all these sorts of constituencies who are extremely antagonistic, far more antagonistic even than just the median American voter to anything that smacks of socialism, certainly anything that embraces that name, embraces that title. So we've got this bizarre split screen now because, you know, we've been talking about the Senate race, but there's another important race as well, which is this governor's contest between Representative Byron Donalds on the Republican side and David Jolly, who is a former Republican congressman. He has now switched parties and he's running as sort of a pragmatic centrist type. But now he is sort of uncomfortably sharing the top of the ticket with this state lawmaker, Angie Nixon, who is a Democratic Socialist by acclamation. So let's just listen a little bit to David Jolly having to weigh in on this the morning after his own primary victory.
Is this a state, Florida, that can elect you as governor, but also elect progressive Angie Nixon for the U.S. Senate at the same time?
Well, we're going to find out. We're going to find out. Look, I reject the DSA. I reject socialism. I'm a capitalist, and I think capitalism provides the greatest amount of economic mobility. I have been with Angie on the trail, and I'll tell you this. She's a fighter. She leaves it all on the field. She goes in every room talking about what I talk about. Can we improve your access to housing, affordable housing, to health care? Do you know where to educate your kids? What is it that government can do where the private sector is unable to improve your life? Angie's out there fighting for those same values. I think she and I have a very different approach to this. But look, I reject socialism. I'm a capitalist. We'll see how Florida's voters sort that out in November.
Not necessarily the message that you want to have to be, you know, breaking your bottle of champagne and kicking off general election season with is please don't associate me too strongly with the other Democrat at the top of this ticket.
Yeah. And when I was talking to the Democratic strategist this morning about sort of how Jolly was going to approach this and whether or not this complicated his race, folks were kind of two minds of it. Like on the one hand, really sucks that now he's going to have to spend a lot of the general election getting these kinds of questions and just repeating over and over again, I'm not a socialist. On the other hand, he gets to draw a contrast between someone, gets to go out there and say, I'm not a socialist. And he gets to let Nixon kind of be the person that's going to drive out to the Democratic base while he can really focus on persuasion, which I get. But at the same time, you know, if part of the Democratic Party's problem in Florida is that their brand is just so toxic and that there's just a perception that they're far too left, it just at the end of the day does not help for there to be a candidate at the top of the ticket who is a self-defined Democratic socialist. It does not help. And to your point, like there are a ton of voters who Democrats need to win over here. Part of the reason they've started losing in the state is because Latino voters have moved away from them. And there's a huge population of folks that fled left-wing dictatorships in the state. And yeah, it's about the worst possible state you could imagine to have to share the ticket with someone who's a DSA member.
Yeah, yeah. It's weird how often you seem to run into this phenomenon where you have a state party that starts to slip backward and starts to lose, and it starts to, you know, hemorrhage people who are kind of in the middle. And that's because it's hemorrhaging people who are kind of in the middle. That's the reason why it's losing. I mean, you see this. We have seen this in Florida, but we also saw this on the opposite side of the aisle, you know, a couple decades ago in California, for instance, where it suddenly became just far, far more regularly and reliably Democratic. And when that happens, you know, it's extremely demoralizing, obviously, for the professional people who run the opposite state party. And it becomes very difficult to claw your way back because people drop out of the infrastructure. They just go do other things. People would much rather work for a competitive state party than a state party that isn't competitive. But also, you're just, I mean, this is a pretty good illustration of one of the things that can happen to you, which is you can have a 5-year plan. That's what I'm trying to say. You can have some kind of roadmap, but you're also just working with an electorate that has lost a lot of people in the middle to the other party. And what you're left with is a much more sort of partisan and activist base that is going to give you perhaps different candidates than you would like to be able to work with according to your 5-year plan. On the other hand, that's just democracy. That's just how it works. And you kind of just have to go out and try. But yes, but it's a much more uphill fight, unfortunately, than maybe they were hoping for yesterday.
Yeah. And I'm dumping a lot of cold water on Nixon as a general election candidate, but I think it's worth kind of sitting with the fact that Vindman lost this primary race that really should have been winnable for him. He raised a ton of money. He was very good fundraiser. But he just, you know, when I was talking to people this morning, they were just kind of like, he just didn't really try. He took this primary race for granted. He thought he had it in the bag. He wasn't out there talking to voters. He was kind of just like chilling until he made it to the general election. Meanwhile, Nixon was out there and she was putting in the work. Like she didn't have enough money really to compete on TV with him, but she was going to campaign events. She was talking to voters. She'd been in the state house for a while and had a natural constituency. And he just didn't do a whole lot. And that really kind of bit him in the ass. And I think the other part of this too is he was relying a lot on his involvement in Donald Trump's first impeachment trial as this thing that was going to kind of just push him through to the general. And I think that's another interesting part of this, that just like did not pan out whatsoever. And I think that we're kind of seeing a trend of this primary cycle where there just really isn't a whole lot of appetite for candidates that got into primaries thinking that they could run on it, whether it's impeachment or their role in the first and second impeachment trials, that they could run on some of that. And that hasn't really resonated with voters, which I think is just an interesting sort of sign of what Democratic voters are looking for right now. And, you know, the fact that Democrats tried impeaching Trump and he came back. So here we are.
Yeah. 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 It really is such a remarkable shift from Trump won, when it just seemed like Democrats, They were so desperate for these sort of glittering hero types, right? And they kept elevating them one after another all through Trump's first term, and they really made celebrities of a lot of these people, the Alexander Vindmans of the world, and, you know, Fiona Hill, other people like that in that first impeachment trial, but also Robert Mueller, Michael Avenatti, Anthony Fauci, you know, these sorts of people who they saw as sort of, you know, these bulwarks, maybe you could say, of sort of normalcy and the way things ought to be and the way things were before this Donald Trump guy came along. And the mood is just so different now, because all of those entities failed to contain him, right? The Democrats' roster of heroes failed. They did not succeed in keeping Trump off of the world stage and in keeping Trump from redefining normalcy for everybody for a long period of time. And so I think that has been one of the biggest shifts in specifically Democratic sentiment in this second Trump term, is like, forget all those guys. I mean, maybe not Anthony Fauci so much. He sort of landed the plane of the vaccine and those things. But most of those other guys, it's like, we're done with them. Let's get some new crop of fighters in here. So let's talk just a little bit more about Angie Nixon. I mean, she's got an uphill fight. We've been talking so much about how people, you know, there are just so many constituencies in Florida specifically that, you know, will not touch anybody labeled a socialist with a 9-foot pole. What's she running on? Like, what's her platform? How'd she land this plane? And what's she trying to do going into the general?
I have no idea what she's going to, like, what kind of candidate she's going to be in the general election. I think she's got to figure that out over these next couple of days. Like, she cannot be the same person she was in the primary and expect to be even remotely competitive in the general. Ashley Moody, who's the Republican that she's going to be running against, last night as she was giving her acceptance speech already kind of came out and hit her for defund the police and all these kinds of things. So the Republicans have planted their flag, and you know, none of it's like all that surprising sort of what their attacks against her are going to be. But Nixon's challenge now is going to have to be, you know, how's she going to explain away some of that kind of stuff and reassure voters? And I don't know how she does that. She has kind of backed away from some of the defund the police stuff. She was on cable this morning kind of saying, no, I just, you know, want to defund private prisons, you know, things like that. So it's just a really, really hard circle to square. You know, I don't know how she's going to do that. And it's not going to help her if she's got David Jolly, who's also like, no, I'm not the socialist in this race. You know, it's just a very hard dynamic. So she's got her work cut out for her. And I don't think the Democratic, big Democratic committees and super PACs were ready to come into this race. I think it seems like they were ready to come in and give Vindman a boost. I just don't see that happening for Nixon at all. And I don't know how she's going to raise enough money to be seriously competitive statewide. That's going to be one of the biggest hurdles for her. So I honestly, Andrew, like my feeling on this race is I just kind of think Democrats sort of just walk away from the Senate race, focus on doing what they can do with the gubernatorial side, because David Jolly is a competitive candidate and his big problem is going to be raising enough money to compete statewide. Florida is incredibly expensive to run in. And I think that that's where they're going to put all their energy for the next couple weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're going to find out. Thank you, Lauren, for coming on and talking through last night's results. Thank you all out there for listening, for watching. Hope you'll go to thebulwark.com. Subscribe to Lauren's very good newsletter, The Opposition, covering everything going on the Democratic side, consistently breaking news, consistently doing really good work over there. Subscribe to the channel as well. And we'll see you all next time.
Until now, the data your AI depends on has been trapped behind ever-increasing cloud fees. Wasabi created Hot Cloud Storage and is redefining cloud storage for the AI era, delivering simple, predictable cloud storage for AI, analytics, media, and more. Your data is free to move, fast to access, and ready when your AI needs it. Hidden fees add up fast as AI workloads grow. Wasabi's flat pricing eliminates all of it. One rate, no surprises. Learn more and try now for free at wasabi.com. Wasabi, the AI storage cloud. Proud partner of the iHeart Podcast Network.
When it comes to plastic surgery, expertise matters, and CAP sets the standard. Our team includes 7 nationally ranked, board-certified plastic surgeons. From tummy tucks, breast augmentation, and liposuction to facelifts and beyond, every surgical plan is tailored to your body, goals, and recovery timeline. CAPS is trusted for consistent, visible outcomes. Plus, when you book your surgical consultation, you'll receive a $100 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Expert care, exceptional results. Visit experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.